Hello, Capricorn, and welcome to your 2019 birthday reading. My name's Eric Francis, here with some hopefully useful information for you. A big year, big couple of years, big few years, actually, in the life of Capricorn. That is mostly because most of the action in the sky right now is focused in your sign. This does not happen very often, but it happens every now and then. Actually, the last time there was this much activity in Capricorn was back in the late 1980s, during the triple conjunction of Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. If you're not that well-versed in astrology, those are three slow-moving planets that formed basically once in many lifetimes alignment in Capricorn and basically change the world. I mean, if you look at the course of events between 89 and about 94, that was all connected to the triple conjunction that took place in Capricorn. So your particular sign is associated with the structure and the stability of the world, right? On the archetypal level, Capricorn is the sign of family, which is a microcosm of society, and so therefore it is also about the corporate structure, the governmental structure. And then a kind of a metastructure behind all that. If you imagine that that families and corporations and governments are like scenery hung from these railings above the stage, and the Capricorn also has something to do with the railings, the invisible structure, the poles in the tent, as well as the skin of the tent. And so the changes that occur in society when there are a lot of planets moving through Capricorn, particularly slow movers, are really changes going on the deeper level that manifest in front of the scenes. As far as you personally are concerned, when there are planets gathering up like this, that means that your life is in a formative, transformative process. And formative and transformative processes require some degree of reorganization, possibly breakdown, because you can't restructure without changing the structure. And one of the issues surrounding Capricorn is that it can become overstructured and overdependent on the past and overdependent upon ideas from the past, and that really is where most of the work has to be done, because on the human level and that really reaches to every level of the world, the ideas behind everything are what tend to hold things up. And when ideas change, everything changes. But ideas don't change that easily. And so that can often result in a needlessly degenerative process. So I'm going to talk about some strategies for how to work with that, to work with the various tectonic pressures. And I'm going to talk about your relationships also as an outgrowth of that, and focus today's thoughts on the Capricorn Cancer axis, that is to say your sign and your opposite sign Cancer. And because I'm still in the final stages of wrapping up Intelligence Part 1, the audio, which is done and mixed and on the server, and the music was all added as of last night. And then I passed out with nary a thought of touching a guitar. I'm going to do part of the reading today to get this in your hands so that you don't fall some prey to something that I'm very troubled by, which is the Capricorn baby syndrome, the Christmas baby syndrome, where they combine your birthday and Christmas. So I want to make sure that you have this, which is kind of a birthday gift, and then I will tend to the needs of the wider flock, and then return to your reading, and we will in that second portion talk about the movements of planets, for example, into Aries and Taurus, which are important to you. I might touch on those, but there's so much going on the Cancer Capricorn axis, which is one of those, you know, backbones of civilization, really, and backbones of the you know, psychic structure of humanity as we know it. I mean, so much to the point where in the oldest known document from astrology called the Thema Mundi, it's about 2,400 years old, dug out of the ancient Greek files by the historian astrologers who do this kind of work, that chart has Cancer rising, and therefore Capricorn on the 7th, and 15 degrees is the sensitive point right in the middle of Cancer Capricorn, is what you might think of as the self-other relationship axis of the world. And interestingly, I won't dwell on all of this as history stuff, but Capricorn in that chart is the sign of relationships, because it's the seventh house. And so there is something inherently about this energy that you draw upon, which counts on Capricorn being the, let's say, the structural keeper of relationships. And so one of the things that is evolving right now in our world are the relationships in our world. We can tell this because there's so much happening in Capricorn. And a lot of the reactionary behavior of people, the polarized taking of camps, and sadly, not like camps at Burning Man, but adversarial camps, or people who think they're adversarial, involves a reaction against all these changes that are happening in the world right now, and the way in which the structure of the world is, rapidly transforming itself. And it is fair to say that the pressure is coming from two sources, both of which are environmental sources. The first and longest term of which is man-made climate change, human-created destruction of the environment, which notably is traced back in history to the 1900s. The first reports on the possibility of man-made global warming are from the 19th century, before the 20th century. And now it's coming to full fruition. We know that basically we have already passed the point of no return, and there is no reversing the process. There's only adapting to it. The second is the internet, which has essentially rotted out the previous structures that were holding up consciousness and holding up relationships and holding up the world. The idea that you would meet someone in a digital format and proceed straight to sex, which you probably don't do, but a lot of people do it, and just the mere idea and the fact that it is so popular is a very strange concept, that there is no longer extant, in most of the world, or certainly Western world, a structured process of courtship, of getting to know someone. And this has had a tremendous impact on relationships, to the point where now it is seen as being in some way intimidating to stand in a room and have a conversation with someone that you have never met before. It seems to many people perfectly outrageous to do this. And this is one of a thousand small effects of the great effect of what the internet has done to consciousness. And the fact that it's got some good elements, like, for example, I'm speaking to you right now by way of the internet, is not really a consolation. It's merely the creative use of a tool that 99% of the time is not being used creatively, and furthermore has completely altered the structure of our lives. I could talk for a long time on the subject, but I want to call attention to the fact that the changes that we're seeing, the insanity that we're seeing, the acceptance of perfectly irrational statements as being as if they're spoken from the lips of Aristotle, is a product of two environmental pressures that we're all under. Man-made climate change having reached the point of no return, and the internet having completely restructured every facet of commerce, of human relationships, of study, of art, of every aspect of living. And, you know, Al Gore called this time in history the time of consequences. I would call it the time of adaptation. Time of adaptation. And the most important thing, bringing this back around to you and what's going on in your sign, is that you live your life in adaptation of the changes that you are personally going through. Now, these are changes driven by the same astrology that is reshaping the world. And to some extent, all of astrology is based on this theory that we all have the same planets. If you do a chart for the president being inaugurated, or the invention of the airplane, or a person being born, it's all using the same planets. And when there's changes focused in your sign that are driving changes in the whole world, you have a metric, a measure of how intense that might be. So I say this to you knowing that you may be under some very unusual pressure, and that you may not have given that pressure a name, and the pressure may feel to you somewhere along the spectrum of change or die. This particular change or die concept came in around 2008, when Pluto first entered Capricorn in the summer of the McCain versus Obama campaign, which now seems like not only ancient history but extremely quaint. In the time when men would have a debate, kind of like the Lincoln-Douglas debates, only in 2008, and there was a collapse of our society's economic structure. Various parachutes opened and radical measures were taken, and debt was refinanced and companies recapitalized, and in many ways the economy was rebuilt. But that was an impact of Pluto going into Capricorn. And so I would trace back, if you're looking for the early history of this current wave of changes, of what you'll be experiencing in 19 and 20, and some of what you experienced in 18, go back to 2008 and consider that as a before and after. What were you experiencing in 2007 and early 2008, and then what were you experiencing in late 2008 and early 2009, and then in through the following decade. So that's the kind of the tipping point, or the point of no return, is 2008. That's the before and after moment. And so now we are at another major before and after moment. And this one, just speaking from the standpoint of what planets are actually present, and I'll tell you more about them after I've just inventoried them, is that Pluto, as you know, is still in your sign, and Saturn entered your sign in late 2017, around 54 weeks ago, around, I think, December 17th or something. Saturn entered Capricorn, and this added a major element of change and of progress. For one thing, Saturn is the sign that rules Capricorn, and so that, unlike for potentially a good few other people, that gives you access to a resource, because your ruling planet is back in your sign for a couple of years. Now, the challenge of this is that as a particular epicenter event approaches, the date of which is 1/12/20. Mark your calendar, if your calendar goes out that far. January 12th, 2020, there's going to be a conjunction of Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. And this is a, let's just get, I bungle up this particular cycle. I think this is a 30-year cycle, but let's see. Events, I'm using IOSprite for this. Saturn conjunct Pluto. That's 1/12/20. If you go to the previous one was in 82. That's more of a 40-year cycle, right? Because it's 80 to 20 minus 2 years. So that's 38 years. Next, and then the following one is in 2053. The reason for the variance in speed is that Pluto has an elliptical orbit, and though this is not often discussed, Pluto is a minor planet and has one of those minor planet orbits, and so it can take 12 years to go through a sign like Scorpio, or 20 years to go through a sign like Taurus. So the duration that Pluto spends in time it spends in a sign is variable. So anyway, we're looking at basically a 40-year event or so. And so it's rare. And it is occurring in a sign that is both representative of structure and deeply, deeply dependent upon the ability to structure and the ability to be attentive to the structure of things. And by the structure of things, I mean the boards beneath the floorboards. I don't mean whether the floor is swept, though there is that Saturnian element of the discipline of keeping the floor clean and the trash going out. But the real structure I'm talking about is the concealed structure, the hidden structure that supports the structure that we see. Keep this in mind, because this is the level of the dynamic that I'm describing entirely in this portion of the reading. So the gradual approach, and we're looking really at 1 year from the time that you're listening, is going to come with a number of stress tests and a gradual increase of pressure. And it points toward some watershed development in your life, a transformation of some kind, an awakening of some kind, a restructuring on the level of the Saturn return, which takes place at age 29 and then 57, approximately, only a few orders of magnitude higher than that. So if you've been through a Saturn return, it can happen with Saturn in any sign, you have an idea of the amount of change that there can be. Now, the chances are that you went through your Saturn return without the guidance of an astrologer. Most people don't have the guidance of an astrologer. And right now, you have me here basically calling some of the shots that are going to be happening, describing the scenario as it's going to develop over the next year. And so because there's this movement happening, there's this gradually increasing pressure that's a little like a piston coming down inside of a cylinder, where just the pressure can cause an explosion. You don't even need a spark plug. Just the pressure can result in a kind of ignition. You want to be really mindful of the choices that you make this year, and make as many choices as you can that are designed to simplify your life rather than complicate your life. And the emphasis has to be on you rather than on your relationships. There's a lot of investing all of our kind of eggs in the basket of our relationships, right, that we do in our culture. And we make marriage the main structure of our family life and of personhood and of what it means to be a citizen and what it means to be legitimate and accepted and all this stuff. And the truth is that there's so much going on for you internally that it's going to be difficult for you to have a realistic perspective on relationships to the point of creating a permanent bond. So you might look around at your life and just imagine that none of it is permanent, because in truth, none of it is permanent. But even on the most basic level, you know, potentially what you do, where you live, who you relate to, what goals you have, how you feel about your family, all of these things are subject to a major reevaluation that will be taking place over the next year. And it will continue to extend into 2020 because the conjunction hangs around. It doesn't repeat. It's a one-time conjunction. So it's going to be very important that you use this energy in the most constructive possible way and go out of your way to remove hindrances and to add things that will be of assistance, to learn and acquire tools, for example, tools of change that work for you. And the most important thing that you can do, in my opinion, is to maintain a focus on your integrity. Now, by integrity, I don't mean the appearance of propriety. This is typically what we mean in 21st century parlance when we say integrity. We mean that it looks good. It seems good. This person seems to be a decent person because they act in certain ways that give the appearance of decency. I am not talking about that level of decency. By integrity, I mean, for example, your radical adherence to honesty with yourself and with others. An example of this is that a relationship that's based on any form of a lie early in the relationship will tend to have a fracture in it. And then the fracture tends to grow, and particularly grow in your consciousness. So, you know, imagine something like two people get together, but one of the people has another relationship at the time. And for the whole first year of the relationship, while they're getting to know one another, one person is maintaining or working out a relationship with another person, but they conceal that fact. And of course, it occurs to them that if this ever comes out, it could destroy the relationship with the newer person. It is this kind of thing that is crucial to be mindful of and to be aware of. And there are countless ways that integrity can be compromised in our lives. And your role in this particular moment, before the pressure comes on, before that conjunction of Saturn and Pluto increases in intensity, is to make sure that you're aware of any cracks in the foundation, that you are mindful of fractures and fissures that are there, and that you inspect your foundations on a regular basis, like a pilot inspects his airplane or her airplane every single time they fly, that the pre-flight check be done, and that you be mindful of anything that can compromise your integrity, by which I mean anything at all. And a lot of this falls under the general heading of honesty being the best policy. Most of the things that compromise us in the future are the small deceptions that are told in the present. And so you're probably familiar with the insidious nature of this problem, where small deceptions become large cracks in situations. And so the thing to do now is to shore up your integrity on every level. And the first level is being 100% honest all the time. And then going through a process of going back through any situation where there was a lack of integrity or anything besides full disclosure, and making sure that you address that now, sooner rather than later. If it seems challenging now, it's going to be really challenging in a year from now, when the pressure is on and things seem much more out of your control. The beauty of the current moment is that, relatively speaking, you have a lot of power of decision open to you right now. You have your options open, and you have the ability to actively make choices from among those options. What is likely to happen over the course of the next year is that you are going to have a sensation of your choices being more restricted and more urgent, to the point where a year from now, you may be under the illusion that you have no options open or only one option open. And that is why I'm saying that today, in December of 2018, the thing to do is to preserve your options. And the way to preserve your options is by preserving your integrity. Another way to preserve your integrity is to make sure that every person that you're involved with is on the up and up. You may be aware of certain problems in relationships that are easy enough to gloss over, they're easy enough to put a veneer over, that might, you know, hide a crack in the structure, a crack in the wall, or something like that. And you want to address those problems sooner rather than later. I mean, an example of that problem may be, you know, that in some way alcohol is having an undue influence on a relationship, that it's not not helping the situation. Well, the time to address that is now. What is the issue? What is the situation? What's the underlying material that's there? Again, a lot of this comes back to the underlying material, not the appearance. The question of why are things this way would begin with translating it into the statement that things are this way. What am I going to do about that? If I have to do anything, what is the impact there? And so I would suggest making a list of the ways that you can preserve your integrity. Another example is that you may have a job that you don't totally honor the results. You know, you may like your work, you may like the people you work with, but you may not like what the output of the company is, what the total end result of the whole process of everyone doing all this work is. Well, now's the time to act on that. You may not be able to walk into a new profession or a new job overnight, but you can certainly make a note of your concern and then begin to act on it. You can, begin to take the steps sooner rather than later that will preserve your options. There are a number of factors that are creating this sense of pressure, and what Patrick Walker called enforced changes, and what under the influence of Saturn Pluto may end up having that change or die feeling, and you want to just be mindful of all of these. You know right from wrong in your own life, and you know right from wrong in your opinion of the people around you and in the world. You have a very, very high degree of awareness. And anything that takes awareness away from you, that tends to put you to sleep, that tends to distract you, is an excuse of any kind, these are all the things to be mindful of. The phenomenon of the stress fracture is going to persist, right? So this is why you want to be mindful of those stress fractures and repair them, and also remove the source of the stress if possible. This extends into every possible form of your integrity, including your mindfulness of your health, your mindfulness of whether you can be honest in a situation and then insisting on being honest in that situation. The choices that you make, the basis of the choices that you make, and whether you really feel like you're standing up to life in the way that you need to. Now, the information coming from your seventh house, coming from across the dial, is worth paying attention to. There are not a lot of points in Cancer right now, in the sign Cancer, which would tell us about your relationships. Let's just get a total inventory of what's going on in the sign Cancer. Degrees of Zodiac, 360 sort, and I'm using now Serenu.com. And there's an option to put all the planets in order. And in the sign Cancer, there are of about 120 factors listed on Serenu, Serenu.com. There are only about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not very many. I was planning to mention 2. But I'm going to mention a couple of others. The main 2 that I'm tracking are hypothetical points. These are not used by all astrologers. In fact, they're ridiculed or just simply dismissed and not taken seriously. But I've been following them for a long time, by which I mean from the beginning of my work. And I was curious about them at the beginning, and I wanted to see if these things worked. So I just paid attention for the next 22 years. And one is called Kronos, and the other is called Hades. So if I could just sum up the message about relationships that is, in my opinion, sending. The first one is to be mindful of self-important people who consider themselves a VIP in any way and expect VIP treatment. You want to be mindful of the people who consider themselves the most important person around. There is an ego problem here, and it is easy for you to latch on to someone like this because it is a kind of a compensation for questions you might have about yourself. It's the reason and the only reason why, sorry for mentioning his name, Donald Trump could be appealing to people, is because he puffs up an air of self-importance. And we can see in him that that's really bad news, that behind that is a very fragile person who compensates for that sense of fragility and their inadequacy by all this strutting around in plumage and throwing their weight around. And this is who you need to avoid. These people are who you need to avoid. The corollary of that is someone you simply respect. And respect is going to mean trust. And trust is going to mean trust established over a period of time. The second kind of person to avoid, and they're probably mixed up with the first group of characteristics, is people who spew negativity. Now, this is considered normal, and it's considered like considered a virtue in a lot of ways to spew negativity and a sign of strength and realism and all of that, and a sign of seeing things the way they really are and all this. This is very toxic most of the time. And who you are looking for on the positive sense of that are people who are helpful, not destructive, not sanctimonious, but who are helpful. That when they see a need, they assist rather than judge. Now, I don't mean assist in the martyr sense of assist. I just mean they see their function as to be helpful rather than to be judgmental. And you don't really need to dig too far into most people to find something inherently good or intelligent about them. And so any person who tends to assess people as losers or as beneath them in some way is the kind of person who is likely to play into your personal astrology in a way that will be toxic and will be explosive. Anyone who emphasizes that that the relationship must center on them as the dominant partner, probably very bad news for you, because your life is at the point where you must focus on yourself. You must emphasize your life for yourself. It's not you need to be treated a certain way in relationships or have it be all about you, but your life for you has to be all about you. And so this calls for a different approach in your relationships to others, right? It's not the usual, this is, all about you and me and a kind of romantic thing. That's not likely to go very far. And so life is different when you are placing emphasis on your growth needs in your relationships. I say this with such emphasis from having spent so many years listening to women tell the stories of their relationships. I have done countless postmortems on relationships, and I tend to get clients when things have reached that point of breakdown. Right when the leaves are changing colors and suddenly you can see what elements were there. And I just hear the same thing over and over again. And one of the things I hear is this kind of self-sacrifice in the sense of sacrificing all or most of one's priorities and one's sense of their inner being for the sake of having a relationship where the relationship turned out to be not what they thought it was. And now take that as one equation. If there is that apparent need to sacrifice who and what you are, the chances are the relationship will turn out to be not what you thought it was. Said another way, there's a deception inherent in the expectation to sacrifice your priorities and your being. There's an issue there. And so the people that you want in your life are only the ones who help you by nurturing your process of self-becoming, who respect what's important to you. How you treat them is somewhat secondary, but I would encourage you to be supportive, and only be supportive of people who are gracious that you're supportive. So there's a symbiosis that has to happen in relationship. But in my opinion, one of the most important messages coming out of your chart is that relationship is a secondary goal to your need to get a real handle on your life, to get an understanding of your growth process, to understand where you are, and to monitor the many different issues and conditions and situations that are developing in your life and that will begin to develop with increasing speed and a sense of pressure. And as the pressure increases, so too does the heat, right? Because they're corollaries of one another. The more that piston pushes down on the gas in the cylinder, the hotter it gets, as well as the higher pressure. And then the more entropy there is. So you need to watch your own life and focus on your own life. And when you do that, life is different. It is so different that it can seem strange to do it. It can seem like you're a crab walking around without a shell. But the time is fast arriving when you have to live your life for yourself and not be orbiting someone, but focused on your deepest needs, your growth, your healing process. That's a crucially important one. There are many, many factors that are talking about getting clear about your values, feelings, and experiences where your family is concerned, and particularly your father. Really making peace with the entire history of that relationship, and if possible, the person himself, if he's still alive. But in any event, your coming to an understanding of your, where you stand with your entire history with your dad, what you learned, what you were given, what was taken from you, the ways in which you were hurt, and notably the way that you bring those needs into your contemporary relationships. The time has come to make sure that you are fulfilling those needs for yourself, having nothing to do with anyone else. And this may be the central integrity issue that I'm talking about here. That your life is about you. It's not about someone else. And when your life is about you, it is easier to make your life available to other people in a whole way, in a loving way, because you're attentive to your own growth and your own needs, and you can come from a real place, a place of completion, a place of being truthful. All right, I'll be back with you on the other side of finishing the intelligence project. It's quite a beautiful thing. I've just completed an approximately 7-week process of recording 12 readings, which are 75 to 90 minutes with original music. And then I'm going to be doing the written portion of that early in the year. I'll now leave you, speaking of music, in the hands. Literally, we make music with our hands and ears. If a Vision Quest, and you know where to reach me if you need to, but I'll tell you again, efc@bookofblue.com. All right. Happy birthday. Happy New Year. And I'll catch you on a different day.